Let's turn to Mark 7. While you're turning there, I've been kind of pondering this for a couple of weeks, and something that I think the Lord's been challenging me on a little bit too. But the question I have for us is, are you religious? And I had that same question. Lord, is there areas in my life, or is there things in my life or my heart where I'm being religious? And so let's look in Mark 7 here, because here we're going to see some very religious people. And I want to look at some of the characteristics that they have. It says here in Mark 7, it says, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of pitchers and cups and copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. And so I'm not going to keep reading that much more, but there's a couple of characteristics here of Pharisees and scribes, which were very religious people of the day, which I observed. And one was that they were very concerned about outward things. And not only that, they ended up, verse 2, saying they found fault. And so my question is there certain things in our life that we put confidence in with respect to being a Christian, a follower of Jesus? Is there certain outward things that we're putting our confidence in? Now, clearly, they had made some rules which contradicted the actual teachings of Jesus. But I would go on to say that there's even outward things that are good that if we do them with the wrong motive, is a problem. And so I was thinking of things like this. Sometimes we can read our Bible every day. We can go to church regularly. We can tithe regularly. We can maybe be involved even in evangelism. When I was younger, I did a lot of these things. I'd go to Mexico and do different missions trips and different things. But was my heart far away from God or close to God? We can do all those things and our heart still be far away. And we can actually end up judging and looking down on others for not doing the right things or enough things. And if that's the case, we're being religious. We don't want to be religious. And I think we need to examine our own hearts to see if there's even just little elements of it, because we don't want to be a religious people. And so if we're religious, it leads into judging others. We can think of the parable where Jesus told about the two men going up to the temple to pray. And the one of them was a Pharisee, and the one, he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. But what do we know is the Pharisee was saying, I'm sure glad I'm not like him. He was able to easily see fault in other people. That's the evidence of being religious, right? We don't want to just be religious. And there's somebody that I was also pondering lately in John chapter 3. And this is an example of a religious person. And their religiosity was hindering them from knowing Jesus. And many of you can probably guess who it is. Look what it says here, John 3, verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm not going to read a lot further, but what I was noticing was that Nicodemus, we know he was a Pharisee, he'd observed some things about Jesus that made him realize that this guy was not just some other guy, but that he was from God. And yet, what do we notice is that Nicodemus came by night. It was hindering him from getting to know Jesus, his religiosity. He was concerned what other people thought of him, especially in the religious sense, because he was like a religious leader. And he was concerned about the opinions of men. He was concerned what people thought. And so I was thinking, are we like that in any way? Am I like that? Am I concerned what people think? And if I'm really honest, there's certain areas I am. And Lord, I want to be rid of this. I don't want to be religious. I want to be someone who's not religious, but rather is in love with Jesus. When we think of all those good things, why do we read our Bible? Why do we go to church? Why do we want to share with others? It should be so that we can know him and have life. There's a big difference between being religious and partaking of the life of Christ. And this is what I want. I want the life of Christ. I don't want to just be religious. I don't want to read my Bible every morning so I can tell somebody I read my Bible, or just to have more understanding or more knowledge that I can impress people with. I want to read my Bible so that it changes me and that I can partake of the life of Christ. This should be our goal. This is the difference between, really, between the tree of life, going to Jesus to have life, or just going to the Bible to have knowledge, which ultimately is going to bring death. So do we want to have life? This is what we should be seeking. And I was thinking of another example of somebody who had realized that Jesus wasn't just anybody, but that there was something different about him. So Nicodemus had a revelation of that. He said, man, no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Right? Well, somebody else had that too, and it was in John chapter 4. But look at the response difference. It was very different. It says here, John 4, it says, I'm going to start here in verse, let's go to verse 4. It says, but Jesus needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Do you notice something there? Jesus was breaking a rule that many of the religious people would never have broken. Jesus was different than a Pharisee. He was okay with having a dealing with a Samaritan. That's interesting. He wasn't concerned what people thought about him. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husbands, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She had a sign, didn't she? Nicodemus had seen signs, and this woman just had a sign. God told her something about her life that he should not have known. She had a sign. So how did she respond to this? Let's keep going here. It says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And so she had a revelation here, right? She saw a sign, and we're going to keep going here, and it says something. By the end, it says to her, verse 25, says, the woman then said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So he revealed himself to her. It's interesting. You think of it. He made it straight out. He told her right there, I am the Messiah. That's what he's saying. He didn't do that to the religious person Nicodemus. he did give Nicodemus some answers and he spoke to him, but Nicodemus didn't quite understand what he had to say, but he made it plain to this lady. Not a religious person, but to this lady. I find that amazing for a few reasons. Look what it says here, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said. We ourselves heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This woman didn't care what people thought. Why? Because they already thought terrible things about her. Isn't that true? She was a sinner, and she knew she was a sinner. She had the revelation she was a sinner. We're all sinners, but do we have that revelation? When we come to that revelation that we're sinners, we don't have to care what people think about us. And Jesus chose to reveal himself to her. Isn't that amazing? And what does it say? She went and told everyone about it. She didn't care whether they would think she was crazy or not. I want to be like that woman, one that Jesus will be willing to reveal himself, give us revelations, and that we don't care what people think because we really want him. And this part here, I think, is the key. Look at this. I'm going to go back to verse 21. It says, but Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. For you worship what you do not know. We worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Look it. He's saying it's going to change. Right now, there's all these outward things. When you have to go to the temple, there's a natural temple you're supposed to go to, but I'm here, I'm bringing in a new covenant, and there's something different. It's not about outward things. It's not about outward things. It's about a heart, right? Are we going to love him with all the heart? I'm looking for what? True worshipers. I'm working for genuine disciples that love me from their heart. And I was thinking, is that what we are? Is that what I am? Am I a genuine lover of Jesus? Or do I read my Bible each morning to say that I did it? Do I go to Bible study on Friday night and Sunday morning to say that I did it? Why am I doing these things? Or is it because I love Jesus? I want to read my Bible because I want to have life. Lord, I want to know him. I want to walk in his ways. I want to keep his word. Right? This is keeping his word and loving him and knowing him is not dependent upon Jerusalem or a temple or on a mountain or any of those things. It's a spiritual thing. And it's a spiritual covenant that we're in. This is the new covenant. It's a fabulous covenant. Isn't that so good that we don't have to go to Jerusalem? We don't have to sign up for a trip to Israel to be able to know him? This is good news. It's a spiritual covenant. But the question is, are we worshiping him from our hearts? Do we love him with all of our heart? This is the key. And I was just thinking, I don't want to be religious. Lord, free us from all religion. Deliver us from being concerned what people think. It says the fear of man is a snare. What is a snare? It's a lure. It's a bait. I looked up that Hebrew word. It's a lure or a bait. Right? Why do I use a lure or a bait when I'm fishing? It's for one reason, to catch that fish and ultimately probably to kill him, put him in the cooler. Right? The fear of man is just that. It's deceptive, and it's going to bring us spiritual death. We don't want to die. We want life. So let's be free of that concern. We want to be free from the concern of what people think about us. Nicodemus was concerned. That's why he came under the cover of night. Let's not be like that. Right? We don't want to be like Nicodemus. Nicodemus and this woman, they both had a sign. Nicodemus saw signs. Jesus came right to her and gave her a sign. And she was interested and kept seeking, asking more questions. And he told her, I am the Messiah. That's what he said. He who speaks to you am he. I am the Messiah. And what did she do? She went and told these people who already thought she was crazy. They were already judging her and looking down on her all the time. They had religious rules back then. We had this worship on this mountain or that mountain. They had rules even in Samaria of what it looked like to be religious. She broke all of them. She had on her fifth man. But you know what? She found Jesus and she went and told people about him. She didn't care what people thought. She just wanted to tell us good news. And I was like, man, I want to be like that. We don't want to be like Nicodemus. We want to be like this woman who realized she was a sinner and she didn't care what people thought of her. And I was encouraged by that. So what was the key thing here is, I think we don't want to be religious. If we're religious, we're concerned about outward things and what people think and what they can see. But if we're spiritual, or if we're genuine, right, what are we going to be concerned about? Not what people think, but what God thinks. We're not going to be concerned about what they think. We're going to be concerned about what God thinks. We want to love him from our heart. We're not so concerned about outward things, but inward things. This is what we want to be focused on. And I really want to grow in that. I can see, being religious, there's that element of pride. But when we're loving Jesus from our heart, right, there's a humility. This lady had a humility. She was like, man, she went and told everybody. He told me all my sins. He told me everything I ever did. There's humility there. Right? And I want to be like that. That's part about being poor in spirit. And so I want to encourage us to be humble. Say, Lord, deliver us from just doing religious things, which are good, but in and of themselves, they're not good. They're good when we do them from the right heart. We read our Bibles from the right heart. We want to have fellowship with others and go to church from the right heart. We want to be willing to give of the finances God's entrusted us with and the time he's entrusted us with from the right heart, not to boast, not to impress others, but because we love him. We want to worship him in the spirit and in truth. This is what he's seeking, and that's who I want to be. And so I would encourage us, let's not be religious. And if there's any of those areas seeping in, we got to fight it and get rid of it. Get rid of all religiosity and be in love with Jesus. This is what matters.